get ready and say hello to one of my best friends in this long journey we've been on. All of us, many of you included. 26 years this program's been trying to help those with better information to make better decisions. It's not easy. Not easy. Jordan Maxwell is back with us tonight. He was just on a week ago, and he wanted to come back. It's Christmas time, and he has a story for us. Hello, Mr. Maxwell. How are you, Jordan?
Well, thank you for being on the show. Jeff, I think I'm okay.
Good.
I think, from one day to the next.
Well, isn't that the state of all good people now? We do our best, and when you look at the outside, it's not chaos. It's organized, deliberately, maliciously, wickedly planned, utter obsolescence of society. That's where we're being pushed. The takedown, the breakdown, it's all gone. All gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Unfortunately, that is the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, here we are. It's Christmas season. The hype is here, and you can tell, I think, which retailers you want to patronize, and if you believe in buying Christmas happiness. I understand a few gifts are all right. But when they say Happy Holidays and not Merry Christmas, even if they say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, but the idea of obfuscating and eradicating the word Christmas is pretty silly. I mean, we understand what organized religions are, and you take your pick. But this is a tradition in this Western culture of ours, and it is being attacked nonstop, as is all the rest of our cultural values, our parameters, all the wonderful things we've worked as a people over these 200 plus years in this country to create are being targeted for extinction. Period.
And the reason why is because there is coming a new world order, which is based on world socialism, communism, and
Thank
the
you.
Destruction of the individual being able to think for themselves. People are now being purposely educated to not think at all, period. Just crawl on your knees and pay your bills and watch your television shows and watch your football games and all your silly ball games and do what the government tells you to do. And you'll do just fine. If you get out of line and you're not in compliance, you will get a knock on the door and be arrested and taken off and never heard from again. That's freedom in the world today. And it's going to get worse. It's getting worse each day because the people themselves are ignorant, ill-informed, and unread and cannot at all be able to think for themselves.
No, it's all being...
We talk about how we're so proud that we have computers that can think for themselves. We have artificial intelligence. We've got computers that can think for themselves. And I say, well, thank God. At least we've got something in America that can think for itself, even if we have to program it to do it. At least something is thinking for itself. Because the human family can't think.
Yeah. Pavlov would laugh at all this. See, it's all, as you were the first to point out, it's switched over now to being reactive. We're reactive to stimuli. We're not proactive. We don't inquire. We don't go after things. There's not a lust for a search within us to find the truth and reality much anymore. It's just people react to things. They're being fed nonstop stimulations of endless types.
Very few people have what it takes to go out and do the research for themselves and to stand and to confront the powers that be and try and continue to establish for the human family truth and wisdom and knowledge very few people care to do that. They would much rather stay home and watch television and watch the ball game, the football game, the basketball, the soccer ball, bowling ball, pinball,
tennis, God, endless.
I mean, all the different ball games. Why do we have so many sports but ball? Why? Because the masters of this world, the Illuminati masters, they know the history of the world, and they know how animals love balls. You throw a ball out for them. So they do. It's true. Animals.
Yeah.
A ball, and with a bunch of cats in the backyard, you throw a ball out there and watch them play all day long, bouncing the ball. Because they're just fascinated with the fact that they can bounce a ball, and so that's what they give humans. Because we are considered to be nothing more than domesticated animals. We're the humans, so give us a ball, basketball. We'll go out and play it until we're blue in the face. We'll go out and watch ball games, play ball games, and bet on ball games and go to the ball games. And that's all we're good for, is a ball game and sports. And the reason why you have sports for young people is because young people are filled with energy. And that's very dangerous when you get millions of young people with energy, because they can be very dangerous if you don't handle them right. They can be very dangerous. You know, you're an old man and you come up against 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, who are very well equipped for fighting, for overthrowing governments. You gotta watch how you train them. And because they have a lot of energy, so give them all kinds of ball games. Let them play till they're just dead tired. Then they'll go to bed and go to sleep and wake up the next morning and do the same thing over and over again until one day at 80 years old, they finally wake up and see the government has sold you down the drain. They've given you your alcohol. Make sure there's a liquor store on every corner. Make sure you got plenty of liquor, plenty of drugs. And if you need to mainline, you can do that too. All you got to do is hit the streets of any big city. They'll sell you all the drugs you want. And then don't worry about it, because Medellin cartel in South America, and then in Colombia, they're working hard to bring some more in. And the CIA and the FBI will bring more drugs in for you. So don't worry about running out if you're buying too many drugs. Don't worry about it. The CIA, which is the Central Intelligence Agency, will bring in more drugs from the cartels in South America for you. They'll fly it in on the big planes that the CIA hires to do nothing but just that, to bring the narcotics into America for the young people, for people to dope themselves out on. Why? Because they are doping you up. They're getting ready to take over the country, and they want you incapacitated. So there's no better way than to put a liquor store on every corner, make sure there's plenty of booze, plenty of beer, plenty of alcohol, and plenty of hard drugs for the people who have gotten past all the Mickey Mouse stuff and really need to get, dead in the deadhead. So they give you the drugs. You'd be surprised at the stuff that's going on around the world to sell children, to buy and sell prostitutes. Sell drugs to drug countries, to drug the people. It's just an incredible, betrayal of the human family.
Yeah, and it's total betrayal. Yeah, that's exactly right. Betrayal. Yeah, here's another drug, Jordan.
Yeah,
what they call FDA approved foods are drugs. Look, you go out and play ball, you're overweight, you're obese, you're young, you're sluggish, you can move, you've got energy, but the body doesn't want to move because it's 40 pounds overweight. You waddle. You can't run anymore. I've seen little kids, they waddle like ducks. They can't run. So they eat food. They eat themselves into oblivion. And then they start to get used to that fat look. I've seen it. It's now politically correct to be overweight. That's fine.
Yep.
And damn you to hell if you mention it to anybody. Oh, no, it's sad. It's so sad what they're doing. And there's no pushback, as you know. Why?
Nope.
Because the control is so insidiously absolute on every level you can imagine, and then some.
You got it. That's precisely right. And there's a few people out there listening to us who know this. And unfortunately, they are having to deal with this world that we live in as we are, you and I. And it's a very, very difficult life when you are on the cutting edge of intellectual, trying to wake people up spiritually. It's a very difficult world. Because, you know, I have to live too. It's part of being here to do what I do is to stay alive and be alive to do what I do. But how do you do that when you're not making any money? I'm not making tons of money as a professional career executive. I've spent my whole life doing one thing, pursuing hidden knowledge about how the world works. Why did I do that? I have no idea. All I know is that's where I am at 80 years old. And there's no starting over again, doing something whole, new, and different with a new career. I don't need a career. I'm 80 years old, and they're going to be here much longer. I did what I did, and I'm paying for it now. And I have been the object of mockery and challenging me at every moment in my life to turn back from what I've been doing all my life, and ridicule and lies and deception about me, trying to destroy my career, my name, my work, my reputation. And I just look at the world and think to myself, well, one day soon I will not be here. And when I am gone, perhaps I will be able to see on the other side what was actually happening to the living creatures that we call the human family on the earth. Where did we come from? How did we humans get here? And what is going on that's trying to destroy us? Take from us our freedom, our ability to read and think and question, and then throwing most of the good people in this world who do things to help other people, to help their fellow man, as a doctor, as a politician, or whatever it is you're doing, you're working your craft to do something to help your fellow man, you will go to prison. Today, in the world we live in, if you strike out as an activist to do something to help your fellow man and spend your life to doing something for your fellow man, you will go to prison. You'll be mocked and laughed at and ultimately arrested and thrown into jail. And all you have to do is look at people like Nikola Tesla, or Royal Rife, or other great people in the world who have done magnificent things to help elevate the human family, only to find themselves broke and destitute or in prison. So I just do what I do and see where it goes. I do the best I can, and at this point I have nothing else I could do because this is who I am. I have already dedicated my life. I knew what I was doing when I did it. And so I love doing what I do. I love reading and studying and then talking to people on radio and trying to wake them up to what's going on with the human family and our own government and our own religions, our own military, and how we're living from one day to the next. And that's what I do. And that's where it goes. I mean, that's the best I can do right now.
Well, you have spent a life in service to all of us, and you should never for one moment think that any of it was frivolous or wasteful. It has all meant something. And the people who have, as you say, the ears to hear, know that. So your contribution is enormous, enormous. We are hung up on this programmed idea that we're a body that has a soul. No, we're souls that have a series of bodies. And we just keep going, apparently. The soul doesn't stop.
I think that's probably true.
We're a soul that inhabits a number of successive bodies. Male, female, sometimes, whatever. But we're not a body with a soul. That's backwards.
That's right. The question was asked many years ago. Are we a physical creature that has a spirit? Or are we ultimately, at the end of the day, a spirit which has come into materialization into a body? And ultimately, we are the spirit. That's because we now know scientifically that the brain does not do the thinking. I watched a lecture by a lady physicist who was very interesting, talking about how does the brain work and what does it in fact scientifically, factually do? What does the brain do for the human being? And she said, we know that the brain has one function only. Only one function, and that is to work the nervous system of the body, of the human body, so that when you're moving to walk or do whatever you're doing or working, you're sitting there in front of a computer like I do all day, it doesn't matter. The brain is working the body so that you can walk, so that you can pick things up, you can move from here to there. The brain controls the movement of your body electrically. That's what the brain does. And so the question was asked, but where do the ideas and belief systems and concepts and ideas that the human mind can come up with, where does that come from? Where do you know, when you have dreams at night, where do those dreams come from? We would think it would come out of your mind, out of your brain. No. She said, the doctor said, no, the brain does not produce thought. It only controls movement, period, end of sentence. Well, then the question has to be asked, where did the scientists come up with their brilliance of researching and their scientific understanding of things? Where does the ideas come from? That our writers are coming up with brilliant stories to make it to movies, to make it to documentaries. Where did the intellectual acumen come from? It comes from out there somewhere. We don't know where those ideas have come from. Well, it's very simple for me because I understand the brain is a computer. Your body is a battery. And therefore, your spinal cord is all the electrical circuits. And so you are a computerized moving thing, a living entity that moves around because it has a brain, which is a computer, and a body that produces electricity. And therefore, we are like a radio. We are receiving communications from somewhere out there. And that's why we call people who come up with these brilliant ideas of wonderful stories and music and all the creativity that's capable of men, we say they are inspired. The word spire means a breath. You either conspire or you perspire, you breathe. The word conspiracy comes from the word conspire. Spire is breathing. And so conspire means to breathe together. So when you see, if you're at the football game, you'll see all the guys on one team all run over to a little huddle, and they're all crowding around talking to each other in a circle. That's what you call a conspiracy, because they are breathing together. They are conspiring. they're pooling their thoughts, and all the thoughts coming from the universe, they're pooling them together. So they call it conspiracy. Well, that's what we also have right now, is a conspiracy of brilliant people who are using their brilliant minds and slowly but surely taking the whole human race down the gutter with them. They are conspiring to enslave the human family, to trick us, deceive us, and ultimately to live off of us. We financially support them. We do the dirty work for them, and we are their servants, and they know that that's the way they look at us. We are nothing more than cattle. And this is why we are, you know, as I've said so many times before, our bodies are security. On the New York Stock Exchange, we are nothing more than stock. And it's horrible. It's terrible what has happened to the human family, because now everywhere you go, you can see it on YouTube. Everywhere you go, you see people who have no idea they're even alive. I mean, they make jokes about it with the Tonight Show. Jay Leno talks with people on the street and asks them, simple little, nothing, little, so silly questions, and the people have no idea. He asked one young man, looked very intelligent young man, he asked him, where is the Panama Canal? And the guy stood there scratching his head, what is the canal? And he had to explain to him what a canal is. It's called the Panama Canal. What country is it in? And the kid had no idea in the world what he was talking about.
No.
So I'm saying that who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Grant. The deliberate dumbing down of America is now in its final terminal stage. We are headed toward utter servitude.
They're doing it purposely, yes.
Yeah. Jordan, what about, we were going to talk about...
You and I had talked about the possibility I could talk about for a few minutes about the particular season in which we're in.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. You'd be surprised how many people have never really thought about the celebration of Christmas and our holidays. One thing you have to keep in mind, every country has to have, people have to have in different countries, at least 5 different national holidays. Holidays. You have to have at least 5 holidays no matter what country you're in. Why? Because you have to understand how the world works. The way the world operates is we operate on something called a 360-degree circle. 360 days a year is a year. But unfortunately, that's actually 365 days. So what are you going to do with the extra 5 days? But the Babylonians wouldn't allow 5 days. The Babylonians said that there would only be 360 days. So if you take a circle, just draw a circle on a piece of paper, a perfect, flawless circle, and you put dots around the outside of the circle, 360 dots, evenly spaced, all the way around the circle, those 360 dots represent the 360 degrees of the sun. Mm-hmm. Meaning 360 days of the year as it goes round and round from one year to the next. It goes in circles. So do we. But the point being is that if the sun is 360 times comes up in one year. And so if we put 360 little dots around the circle. And then if you draw a line from one dot, it doesn't matter which one, you got 360, choose one and draw a line to it and note it so that you can go back to it and find it, note it again, and then go to the opposite side of the circle, and that will be 180, you have count 180 dots in the circle, And then you note that one. Now you draw a straight line from the first one to the second one. You now cut the circle in half. Now turn the circle around and cut those two circles, those two halves in half. Ultimately, it's like a pie cut in four pieces. This is why when you drive by a church, you will see on churches crosses. And on the cross, you will almost always, you will see on the cross a circle in the middle of the cross. It's not a man hanging there. No, it's a circle on the cross. Why? Because it's the sun, the circle of the sun, hanging on the cross of the zodiac, north, east, west, and south. And incidentally, in the ancient world, anything that happened in the north, east, west, or south was called news, N-E-W-S, north, east, west, and south.
Oh.
And so that's where we have anything happens in the north, east, west, or south, and that's got to be news. And so the sun is a round circle, and so is your calendar a round circle. So is your watch a round circle. And so the hand of the watch goes around 12 different times and walks around the circle. And so we call that the sun walking across the sky. Well, the sun represents light, intellectual, spiritual, intellectual light, or actual physical light. And if you want to make that sun into a metaphor, then you make it into a human. You make it into a subject like a person, and you call the sun the S-O-N, but it's actually the S-U-N. And so that's why we say, and we have mythologies talking about Luke, and Luke is light. Light is the light of the sun. So you have Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, where Luke is the light of the sun, the light of the world, and he walks across the sky in 12 steps. So he's Luke Skywalker. And, and what do you mean when the sun walks across the sky in 12 steps? Well, the sun was called Horus, H-O-R-U-S. We change the O and the O and the O and the U and the R. We change it to H-O-U-R-S, not H-O-R-U-S. It becomes 12 hours. So the sun is Luke Skywalker, who walked across the sky in 12 steps. And so it's a 12-step program. And, of course, it's a 12-step program in life for you. You go from the first grade to the 12th grade. Alcoholics have that 12-step program. There's all kinds of institutions that employ the idea of a 12-step program. Yeah, because Luke Skywalker, the sun walked across the sky in 12 steps. And then what does he meet with the 12th step? What does he find himself? He finds himself confronting darkness, the prince of darkness, Darth Vader. The evil dark prince, who is a frightening, very fearful and frightening god of the darkness, Darth Vader. That's what Luke, that's what the movies are trying to tell you. These are all ancient mythologies.
Right.
But here's where the Christmas and Easter come in. Very, very interesting stuff. On the first day of summer, the sun is in the northern hemisphere, and we need to keep in mind that Western civilization's religions, Christianity and Judaism, and all of our basic religious beliefs are from the northern hemisphere. We do not have a whole lot in our belief systems from the southern hemisphere. When we talk about Christianity, we're not talking about Mayas or the Incas or the ancient Mexican, ancient Central and South American religions. We're talking about the Northern Hemisphere, North America. And so our belief systems are based on the Northern part of the Earth. And so On the first day of summer, the sun is as high in the northern sky as it's going to get. It's not going to go any further north than the first day of summer. First day of summer, the sun is as high in the northern hemisphere as it's going to go. And each day after that, though you don't really realize it, each day the sun is moving southward 1 degree. Each step is a 1 degree. And so you get 90 steps, makes it 90 degrees or 90 days. And 90 days is what? 3 months. 3 times 30 is 90 degrees. 90 degrees and 90 days. And so on the first day of summer, the sun, we say, is really hot. I mean, this guy is really hot now. Why? Because it's the first day of summer. But 90 degrees or 90 steps later, when he walks across the sky, 90 steps, he is now not that hot anymore. He used to be hot. Now he has fallen. He's fallen. He's no longer the Mr. Hot. You know, Mr.
Got it.
Not that hot. So we call it fall because he's fallen. So now he's fallen and he's not that hot anymore. But that's not the problem. The problem is that one of the constellations of the zodiac is called, Scorpio. Scorpio is represented as a scorpion. And so Scorpio is related to fall. Fall begins in the constellation of Scorpio. Mm-hmm. And so we say that the sun, who used to be hot, he's not that hot anymore. He's fallen from his position of severe heat. He now enters into something called autumn, where the constellation of the zodiac called Scorpio will bite the sun. He will go out and kiss him. And this is why Judas goes out and kisses Jesus. He doesn't go out to kiss Jesus to identify him. He goes out to betray him. The idea is that the sun was really hot, but now he's fallen from grace, and now he's fallen in the fall under Scorpio. And people know the Scorpios, Scorpions are backbiters. A backbiter is someone who puts a knife in your back while he's pretending to be your dear friend. And God knows we got plenty of them around.
But,
but that's the idea that the sun is now going to be given the kiss of death. The backbiter Scorpio is going to go out and kiss God's sun, the light of the world. And of course, the sun is the light of the world, S-U-N. And so therefore, the sun is now going to be given the kiss of death in the fall. And so somebody who was really hot, you know, 3 months before is now already fallen. And not only is he fallen, but now he's been given the kiss of death. He's going to fall even more all the way down south to Brazil. He's going south. So are the birds, because they let you stay up here and go to work. The birds
going south for the winter.
Yep. Going south for the winter. And so, therefore, the sun goes all the way down to Brazil. It goes all the way down into South America. And on the 22nd of December is the official first day of winter. December 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, something interesting happens down there that we don't know about. The sun goes as far south as it's going to go, and then it doesn't go any further south. And so the naval instruments that follow the sun, the scientific instruments we have to track the sun, will tell you that the sun on the December 22nd hits the lowest point in the southern sky and will not go, thank God, any further. It will not go any further. So we find that on the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th, those 3 days, the sun rises on the exact precise degree. It doesn't go any further south. It doesn't come back north either. So for 3 days, the ancient people said that the sun was moving one step a day, but now it's not moving for 3 days. Anything that hasn't moved for 3 days must be dead. So God's Son, the light of the world, is dead for 3 days. Now, on the 25th, the sun moves 1 degree northward, which means to anybody with a brain cell, means the sun is now born again. And now it's coming back. It went as Got far it. Down the south as it's going to go. Now it's coming back. And thank God it's on its way back. And another 90 days, and it will cross over the equator. It's going to take 90 days or 3 months, January, December, the last part of December, January, February, and March. And then it will cross over the equator. So the ancient Egyptians said that the sun had passed over from the death of winter to the new life in spring. So he has sprung back to life. So we call it spring. But the Jews, the ancient Jews, called it Passover. Why? Because the sun has passed over the equator. And we now know for sure it's on its way back. But in the, but we call it spring. In the constellation of the zodiac that's associated with spring, one of the 12 signs of the zodiac is Virgo. Virgo, the virgin. So God's son is born of a virgin. A virgin birth. Virgo brings spring. And so therefore God's son, who is dead for 3 days in the tomb and has resurrected or come back to life on the first day of spring. Well, the Jews call it Passover because the sun has passed over the equator. And so we say, we Christians say, no. We don't want nothing to do with the Jewish religion. That's all the Jewish stuff. We are Christians, so we will worship God's Son, the light of the world, on Sunday. And so we go out at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning as Christians to have something called an Easter sunrise service. Why? We're going out to welcome our Savior, God's Son, the light of the world, and a sunrise service. And it's called Easter. Why? Because it goes back to the worship of Isis and Ishtar. Ishtar is Easter. And that's what the sun is. It's a star in the east. It's an Easter. And so today we have an Easter sunrise service. So what we're talking about all the way around the year is the four different seasons of the life of the sun. The four seasons, spring, summer, autumn, winter, are the four pieces of a pie cut in perfectly four slices. The reason for the four slices of the four seasons of the year gives us our idea of the four gospels in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. The story of the life of God's Son, the light of the world. Christianity and Judaism is both based on the life of the sun. Wherever the sun is for us on the earth, there's a story. It's just a story. It's a mythology. But Christians believe that God's Son, they don't think about it. Why are you out at 4 o'clock in the morning waiting for the sun to rise, to have an Easter sunrise service? That sounds a little bit like sun worship, don't it?
Sure it does.
Of course it does, yeah. I mean, everybody's out waiting for the sun to come up. Why? Because he's going to be born again. He's going to come back to the earth. He promised he would return, and he has. He comes back again every year. The same old ritual. They drag him off. And he's going to go back to being at the first week of summer, the first day of summer. He is now in the constellation of the zodiac called Leo. Leo the lion is the constellation of the zodiac. So we say he is the Lion King. Disney makes a movie about the Lion King. The Lion King is the Lion King of Jerusalem. The King of the Jews is finally resurrected. The Messiah has come back to the Jewish people and warmed the earth up because it's been freezing because he was dead for 3 days. It's an extraordinary story of how the calendar works. That's why you have a watch that's like a calendar. It's in a circle with 12 steps. And you take 12 steps in life. That's why the alcoholics have a 12-step program, and everybody else has a 12-step program. You start in the first grade, and you end up in the 12th grade.
Right.
So it's a 12-step program.
A baker's dozen, a dozen apostles.
That's exactly.
A dozen eggs.
A dozen apostles, you take that as a dozen apostles are 12. And you take 12 of anything, it becomes a ruler. Rulers are 12 inches. And that's why you have something, a straight edge ruler has 12 inches in it. The 12 inches are the 12 signs of the zodiac, the 12 apostles. And so we call that straight edge with 12 different equal portions, we call a ruler. Well, of course, Jesus is the ruler. He is our ruler. The Son is your ruler, and it's your Savior, and it comes up every morning. And his name is Horus. Horus was the sun god of ancient Egypt. And where does the sun god come from? He comes up on the east. You wake in the morning and he will rise in the east. Therefore, he was called our risen Savior. Of course, the sun is your risen Savior. If it don't come up, we're dead in about 3 weeks on the earth. It's going to get awful chilly here. It gets cold in the winter. Well, wait till there is no sun, period.
Then
find out what cold actually is.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why we say things that we have terms that we use.
Uh-huh.
Somebody who is very highly intelligent, someone who is extraordinarily well-read and highly intelligent, we say that they are very bright. They have very bright
eyes. Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah, he's very bright. And why? Because he's shining light all over. What do you mean he's shining light? Well, people who are listening to him are saying, oh, I see what you mean. I see. What are you talking about, you see?
Well, you've illuminated it with the light.
My life.
Yes.
He has woke me up and has finally dawned on me. it dawns on me what he was talking about. Yeah, it finally dawns on me. The religion and Christianity is sun worship. We call him God's son, and God's son was called Horus, H-O-R-U-S. We change it to 12 hours, H-O-U-R-S, 12 hours.
Walked oh, no.
Yeah.
And that's so, where hours came from. Oh,
yeah, hours
right.
is as Horus fell backwards. And so, incredible how well hidden.
No, it's all there. It's right in our faces, Jordan, and if it weren't for you, we wouldn't know. This is amazing.
And so that's what we're celebrating.
All right, what about Christmas? We have about 7 or 8 minutes left. That's it. So let's get to Christmas.
Well, Christmas is December 25th, and as I said, the sun goes southward every year. Every year it goes southward and ends up on the 22nd. On a particular degree on the earth, a particular degree, and for 3 days it rises on that exact same degree. Therefore, the ancients said that anything that's been moving all year long and don't move at all for 3 days is dead. So he's dead for 3 days in his tomb. The sun died for 3 days. But he said he would return, and he promised he would return. And on December 25th, the sun moves 1 degree northward. The U.S. Navy has instruments that can show you. The sun just moved 1 degree northward after rising on the same degree for 3 days when he was dead for 3 days. Now he's been born again.
Got it.
And now he's come back to us. He's been born again. Now he's going to, 90 days and 90 steps later, he's going to cross the equator. And the ancient people said it was a Passover. So today we have the Jews all over the world celebrating the most important day of their whole life in Judaism, is to have the sun passing over the equator, bringing back to us the spring. The sun who was dead is springing back to life. And this is why we have so many spring weddings. Why? Because all the animals are waking up to reproduce. The flowers are reproducing.
They're warming up.
Life
yes,
is warming
the light
up
is warming them up.
So that's what we're doing. We're out chasing the women and chasing the girls. Why? Because it's spring, and it's time for a spring wedding. And this is why we have something called God the Father. God the Father, in the spring, brings the rains. We call it the spring rains. That's the rainy season. Why? Because God the Father is now giving to Mother Earth, Mother Nature, what you call rain, which is a sacred fluid that reproduces life. And so this is why God the Father is impregnating Mother Earth with the sacred fluid. It's called rain. Why? Because in the Hindu religion, the word for the Almighty God was R-A-I-N. Go look it up in the dictionary. Rain is the word for God in the ancient Hindu. And so that's why we say the Son is God the Father, because God the Father is causing impregnating Mother Nature, Mother Earth, with the sacred fluid. And so it's called rain. And so, I mean, it's just the story of the world that we live in, the continuation of the sun that never dies. It always comes back. It always freezes once a year, and then it dies for 3 days, but it's always going to come back. So don't worry about it. Just go live your life. You're never going to be without the sun. And hope to God we're not without the sun, because it gets real cold when there is no sun and there's no food growing, no children, no flowers, no nothing, period. If we don't have the sun come up, and he's not our risen Savior, that's where it all comes from. It's this story of the life of the sun and the earth in our small solar system. We call it religion. That's where it goes back to Hindu religion, Buddhist religions, Christianity, Judaism, Islam. It's all man-made stories, mythologies. It's an incredible story about how we have been tricked into believing things which are just not what you thought it was. It's a mythology. Oh, yeah. My God, I've got so many other things. I know that we don't have any more time. But I want to thank you for having me on.
We got 3 minutes. We got 3 minutes. Put a little more in there.
Well,
so, yeah, we're okay. The way it's set up, December 25th, the celebration of the sun,
moving
and
north,
its return,
one degree north.
It's coming back. So that's the birth of the return of the sun.
And just as you have seen him leave on a cloud, he will return on a cloud. Well, what is it out there that brings life into this world? And the ancient Egyptians said something interesting, that the sun was pure energy. And if he did not share his energy with us planets in the solar system, he could live forever, they said. The ancient people believed the sun would last forever because it's pure energy itself, and energy is life. But because the sun is giving life to us so we can live too with energy, he is giving his life so that you might live. Isn't that wonderful that God's Son has given his life so that you might live? S-U-N, energy, so that you might live. And so he dies on the cross of the zodiac, north, east, west, and south.
News.
It's an extraordinary story.
Big news.
Jeff, believe me, there is at least another 50 major points in relation to this story of the life of the sun that I can't even think of right now, but I've got them all written down, all the different points, how we have an Easter sunrise service and our day of worth, to show worth and value for God's Son. We call it on Sunday. We go to church on Sunday. Well, you know, so I mean, that's what we're doing. We're worshiping the Son. S-U-N. And if you want to understand the connection between S-O-N and S-U-N, go look it up in the dictionary. It's called the lazy O in the English dictionary. Look up the word lazy O in the dictionary. It will explain to you that the word S-U-N and S-O-N are the same word. It's the same word. It just depends on what country you're living in, how you...
Oh, yeah, of course. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, because
the lazy O.
S and the O and U are the same word. It's just changing the O for U. A-E-I-O-U. And so you change O for U.
In our own primitive, clumsy way, Western Christian civilization has turned all of that into the celebration of Christmas and the spirit and all of that. It's fascinating what you just gave us. And that was a real gift from Santa Maxwell. Thank you.
Yeah.
And beautiful.
I'm too old to be going down a chimney.
Well, you don't need to, Jordan. You've been there, done that. Thank you, my friend. That was great.
I think it is a wonderful, wonderful time of the year to appreciate the returning of the sun to our northern hemisphere. But the Jews call it the Passover.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it interesting that the Passover and Easter are the same week? It's the same identical time, just as Christmas. We have lights on the houses. We decorate trees and lights in our homes.
Sure.
The Christmas lights. Well, the Jews have a celebration called the celebration of the lights. And what was it called? There's a term for it in Judaism. December 25th is called the celebration of lights. And no, well, that's exactly right. Christmas is a celebration of lights. Why do you have all the lights on the trees? Because the trees are evergreen, meaning they always will be green. They're not going to die like other trees. So therefore, you always have a Christmas tree as an evergreen, implying that they will not die, that even though the sun is dead for 3 days, our trees and our green do not die necessarily. And so it represents a continuation of life, even with the death of God's Son. Oh, and this is another reason. Here's another point. And so on Christmas, you will see people, Christians, putting on their front doors a Christmas wreath. What is a Christmas wreath? What is a wreath? A wreath is a symbol that someone has died. It's a symbol of death. You see a wreath on the door. Look it up in the dictionary. The wreath was symbolized for someone who's died. That's right. God's Son has died. So you put a Christmas wreath on the door to acknowledge that God's Son is dead. He has died for 3 days. And now he's going to come back to life on December 25th because it's going to move 1 degree northward, starting its annual journey back to us.
Wow. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Thank you, my friend. We'll be thinking about you at Christmas and always.
I want to thank you for allowing me to be on the show. You've always been a dear friend, and I really appreciate you and what you do. Nobody else does what you do. And that's why I'm delighted to be a part of whatever you do.
Yeah, we've walked a long road. We have.
We certainly have, and it's a little bit longer to go yet.
Yeah. So, okay, Jordan. You be well. We'll talk soon.
We'll talk later. Bye bye.
Okay. The fabulous, one of a kind, Jordan Maxwell. We'll be right back.